We welcome you to First Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, where we cultivate Christ's love through mission, inclusion, and community. We have a few announcements around those three topics. Last week was Blanket Sunday, but if you didn't get a chance to give your $10, the envelopes are still in the pews with you, so please do that as you feel called. As you came in, you probably smelt the delicious breakfast. That is for you. $5, and you can have breakfast to support our Mexico mission trip. Max $25 for a family. So text all your family right now. Tell them to meet you up here at 11:15, and you can have breakfast together. On Thursday, Dessert and Discovery is having a Holocaust survivor come in and speak to us at 7 p.m. We invite you all to come and hear that story. And after service, John's father's Bible study will be happening as usual. And I have two announcements for births. As you can see on our baptismal font, we have two roses. One is for David Robert Quigley, newly born to Jennifer and Kyle Quigley, and the other is for Connor William Merton, the son of Kristen and Mark Merton. So we celebrate those births. And if you have a heart for children, we have still volunteers needed for VBC, Vacation Bible Camp. And we also have openings for children. So if you are not registered yet, please make sure that you get them all signed up. Now let us greet each other with the peace of Christ.
Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
하나님께 영광, 하나님께 감사.
Ehre sei Gott, Dank sei Gott.
Chwała Bogu, dzięki niech będą Bogu. Ojcze nasz.
Im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel, so auf Erden. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unsere Schuld.
Please be seated. And the children can come forward for the time with the younger church. And if there are any seniors who are graduating, please come forward as well. For me. Matthew, you're up there as well. So today is Pentecost, which we often say is the birthday of the church. And it's also a day that we're celebrating our seniors. There's a few more in your bulletin. You can see their senior pictures in there. And these guys started where you guys are now. They would sit at time with the younger church. They would hear the stories and then go to crosswalks and hear how to live out those stories. They've been coming to youth group to ask lots of questions and be stronger and know Jesus more and more. And now they are ready to go out to find their own voice and to bring God's love to every part of the earth that they go to. So we are going to celebrate them, and the church has a little gift for them. And we are going to keep praying for them, even though they're not with us. They're going to come and visit us when they can, when they're home. They're going to come visit. And we're going to keep them in our family, even though they're going to be a little bit farther away. So will you guys join me in a prayer for our seniors? We close our hands like this so that we don't poke anyone next to us. We close our eyes so that we are with God and we think about God sitting right next to us, and we say, Dear God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for going everywhere we go. Be with our seniors and bring them home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 3- and 4-year-olds, you're going to go off to your class, and the rest of you can go with your parents and have a seat. Thank you.
On this day when we celebrate the gift of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, let us remember that that Holy Spirit lives and abides in us, not only around us, but in us. And so please join me in the litany for Pentecost, filled with that Spirit, as we all start off together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our lives, inside and out. Renew our faith, renew our relationships. Renew our trust in your mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our lives, inside and out. Challenge us, comfort us, stir us up, calm us down. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our lives, inside and out, with fire and wind, come to this place. Gather us in, send us out. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our lives, inside and out. Make our legs stronger, our hands firmer, our hearts wider in love. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew the face of the earth.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Peace be with you. O God of the still, small voice, quiet all voices but your own, let us hear your voice in these ancient words and amplify your voice within each of us. Amen. Today's lesson comes from the Gospel of John. We find Jesus sitting with his disciples, teaching them before the long journey to Jerusalem and the cross. Please listen for the word of God. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so, they are offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that you will remember their hour when it comes, and you remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going now? But because I have said these things, you are filled with sorrow. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they did not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am with the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of the world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I have said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. The verses today come from the Gospel of John and are categorized as Jesus's goodbye. Now, we have just come out of the Easter season, so we know why Jesus is saying goodbye. But this was not as clear to the disciples. In the chapters before the scene, the disciples are obviously confused, and they ask all sorts of questions. What do you mean you're going away? Where are you going? Normal questions to ask someone who starts saying goodbye without telling you that they're leaving. The disciples are distressed by the answers that Jesus gives. I am going to my Father. I have been with you for a while, but soon will not be with you. The disciples get so stressed out that they completely stop asking questions. They simply cannot handle the answers. They don't want to think about a time when Jesus is not at the lead. Jesus does all he can to help the disciples through this transition. He reassures them that they will not be left alone for long. Jesus tells his disciples that he will send to them an advocate, the Spirit, to help them and guide them through the journey ahead. But Jesus does not sugarcoat the journey. He's honest with them about the way the world will treat them and the struggles that they will face. He knows that even though the disciples will face rejection and death, that this is still the right way forward. In fact, he tries to convince them to be happy that he's leaving, because that means that the advocate gets to come and begin its work. You see, for now, the disciples have been followers, students, learning what it is to be God's people from Jesus. Jesus was at the lead. Jesus' voice was the one that taught and talked. It was Jesus' voice that carried the message for the community. The community that was building was centered on Jesus' voice. But something else was happening too. They were beginning to care for one another, to look out for the vulnerable among them, to welcome in the outsider. They were becoming the city on a hill that Jesus so often spoke about. Community was not a new concept to anybody in Jesus' circle. This time, what community was a survival technique. You stayed within a community of religious affiliation or family circles or local tribal mentalities. People were skeptical of the outsider. They shunned people within their community who did not lead up to their expectations and standards. I think of a popular poster online that has two very different ethnic children hugging each other. And the title says, "Love comes naturally, hate is learned." But a sociologist recently on the news said that this is not true. Hating one another was a way that humans have kept safe for ages. Because for them, if an outsider was coming into your tribe, they were not coming to love you. This experience shaped the way the community was done. So these followers of Jesus lived in a time where the tradition of doing community was to stay together, keep outsiders out, follow the rules, and the motto was, "You're only as strong as your weakest link, so get rid of the weak." The people who followed Jesus understood the importance of community. But Jesus challenged them to think better, to welcome in the outsider, to wrap themselves around the people that were seen as weak and support them. God's community's motto was, "We are stronger when we are inclusive." Under Jesus' leading voice, he turned the idea of community on its head, and it was working. And then came a time for other voices to lead the community. Jesus says to them that the Spirit of truth will speak on my behalf, and you will speak up with the advocate's help. He tells them that they will find their own voice and that it will be inspired by the Spirit of truth. They received those voices on Pentecost. With a rush of wind and tongues of fire, they were literally given new voices in different languages. The Spirit found them when they were still in community, still praying and teaching and learning together, doing this new way of community and telling the stories that Jesus told. But the Spirit does not wrap around them and bind them together. The Spirit sits on each one individually and sets them apart for a special task. They go from hiding in their rooms to safe in a safe room to speaking eloquently in the streets. They head to new lands away from their comfortable communities. I get fairly jealous when I read the Pentecost story because I would love to speak another language. I have tried a couple times, and I have a long list of excuses why it doesn't work out for me. But it's not just about the different languages that they receive on that day. The disciples are transformed from scared to empowered. The sermons seem to roll from their lips without even trying, and no writer's block. This thing that they received from the Spirit is more than just the ability to speak a new language. The voice that they are gifted with is beyond being bilingual. It's a confidence to speak up the message that is already within them. This is what Jesus meant when he said it was good for him to leave so that the Spirit could begin its work in them. With Jesus gone and the Spirit stirring, they were finally able to find their own voices. When I started preschool, I loved it. I loved the new toys, the new people, the specially packed snacks from my mom. I couldn't understand why everyone else was crying when their parents left. I thought it was a dream. I quickly learned why they were crying. I have two older brothers who were in high school before I was even born. So at home, I never had to share my toys. And the other thing, there seemed to be this double standard where other kids didn't have to share their toys with me. At home, I got to nap when I got tired. At preschool, I had to nap when the schedule said nap time. The world of preschool was very unfair. By week two, I was over it, and I began screaming. Unfortunately, by this point, all the other kids had gotten over their screaming, and I was alone in my sorrow. My mother worked in the building that I was in preschool at, and thankfully, she was a pro by the time she got to me, and she knew not to turn around when I was screaming. She knew that I would find something that I loved. I would meet amazing people and learn to find my own way without her holding my hand. She knew in order to become the person I needed to grow into, she needed to step back. I'm sure it was excruciating for her. I know that she caved a few times because I can remember eating lunch in her office and knowing I wasn't supposed to be there. But my mom knew that when she stepped back, something within me would begin to shine. This is what Jesus knows when he says goodbye. He knows that his voice has led them long enough. They know what they need and for the moment, and it's their time to be in communion with God through the Holy Spirit. Their time to find their God-given voices. We are given that chance too. We are just as filled with that rushing wind and flaming fire as the disciples were on Pentecost. The voice we receive from the Holy Spirit may not sound like different languages, but it does set us apart for a new and different task. our voices resonate around something that we are passionate about, that we cannot keep silent. It may be a special cause, or to speak for someone who is ignored. Your voice may be an ability to sit with someone in silence when they are hurting, or to rally the squad when someone is in need. One of my favorite songs begins with the singer cursing God for not doing something to end hunger, for not stepping in when there is abuses in the world. And the singer gets so mad, they finally cry out, "Why don't you do something?" And God's reply is, "I did. I created you." Our individual voices may champion different things, but they are all inspired by the same spirit of truth. Our Pentecost voice is the word that we are created to speak, the actions that we were created to take, the places that we were created to change. In this community, we hear the story of God's love and how to be God's people. We practice it when we come together at the table, at baptism, sharing the peace. We know that this is a huge message to bear. Jesus did it well, but for one person to do it today seems like an immeasurable task. Thankfully, we do it together, each of us speaking a piece of the message that we are gifted most to tell. It's a scary thing to be charged with a piece of God's message, but Jesus assures us that we are not alone when we speak up. The Spirit will guide us and help us to speak the truth that needs to be heard. Our rushing wind is the sound of air filling our lungs. Our fire sits in our belly when we have the courage and the opportunity to finally speak the message within us. May you feel the Spirit tugging on your heart. May you listen to the voice that's inside of you. May you gather the courage to stand and use that God-given voice to continue the message of God's love, so that when people see you and hear you, they know that you are inspired by the Spirit of truth. Amen.
Part of using our voice comes with the sharing of our resources. So with joyful and grateful intention, let us offer our gifts to God.
Thank you.
loving and giving God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit. Please guide us with our lives and with the use of these offerings that we may live our lives and use our resources to honor your work in this kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. We sometimes forget at prayer time that I am not up here reading a prayer, but these are the prayers of the people, and we are praying together as a community. And so today, in honor of that, there will be a refrain that we will all sing together in breaks in the prayer, and the choir is going to teach us that refrain. Let us pray. Ever living and ever loving God, we praise you and thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Take and transform our societies, that broken people find healing, that lonely people find love, that bitter people find peace, that fearful people find hope. Come, Holy Spirit, take our world's leaders and governments and bring renewal, that communication can be open, that relationships between hostile people and hostile nations will evaporate, that a hunger for justice addresses the hunger for food felt by so many. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your church, that our worship will be ever more pleasing to you, that prayers will change our minds instead of trying to get you to change yours, that our lives will make a real difference to real people in a real world. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives with your presence. Rest upon all those mentioned in these prayer requests that will be prayed for during the week. And may all that we say and do and hope be an act of worship to you and an expression of love to others in the glory of your name. And now hear us, Lord, as we join our voices in our family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.